Y'all are the coolest nerds, though.
Okay, I'll take that. Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper, in studio.
Also in studio, I am the Step, Matt Step.
Wow.
Hello.
Back
Hello.
From the great Hello. White North.
I am back. And I'm glad to be home, and I see the humidity did not leave.
No, it didn't.
It was quite humid. It's quite humid today as well.
It is.
Back from the north.
Those other dulcet tones you hear belong to the other person who is in our studio. Kind of. She's in the control booth. There she is, regular-sized, Vianney Moreno.
Finally.
She's back.
Great to be back, guys.
She's extremely back.
Not being on screen the whole time.
This is your Week 2 preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football subscriber, or not.
We thank you for being cheap.
Well, we
watching
don't.
This on Friday.
We don't thank you
no,
for
No, we
it,
would like for you to subscribe, because yeah. it helps us. Texas it helps us do... really cool things if you subscribe.
Yeah, if you want to help pay V&A's like so
exorbitant salary.
Yeah, and like I don't know if you see the car she's driving these days. It like
okay.
I didn't even know that they make cars that fancy.
No, I didn't either.
It's crazy. Anyway, but so help pay V&A's exorbitant salary. Mm-hmm. Textball.com/subscribe. This is your Week 2 preview edition. We've got plenty to get to, overreacting to Week 1 of the Texas high school football season. We will have that. And then, Matthew, we will have our Week 2 game draft. There is a lot of interesting... It's an interesting slate. It's not as high profile
No.
as Week 1.
It's a good slate, though.
It's a good slate. There's some strong games and there.
I think some games got more interesting after the Week 1 results. There's so
at least two that I could think of off the top of my head that I'm like, I'm a lot more interested now than I am. Would have been, say, 72 hours ago. But first, Matthew, we will start as we always do with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Cover Zero Analytics. Woo. You see that? You see that
branding,
sign on the desk?
Branding.
That it's awesome. Branding. Go to coverzeroanalytics.com to learn more about your high school football team.
That sounds like a threat.
It is a threat. If you don't go to coverzeroanalytics.com, we are not friends.
Oh.
Coverzeroanalytics.com. And now that the season's rolling in, they've got like the goods. It's not just like projecting from last year. It's like, oh, now we're like digging into the actual data and stuff like that. Matt Step. It's Cover Zero. That's my son.
way more important than me.
Matt Step, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Week 1 of the Texas high school football season is in the books. Mm-hmm. It was a wild week across the state.
Wild and woolly.
This is not the Texas high school fun fact of the week, but do you know off the top of your head what the highest scoring game in the state was last week?
Was it El Paso East Lake and El Paso Bel Air?
It was. Okay. El Paso East Lake beat El Paso Bel Air 70-50. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback for Bel Air was like our quarterback of the week.
Yeah, he threw for like darn near 600 yards.
And they lost by 20.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Shout out to Bel Air. They're much improved. Gary Recoder's Ball Club, much improved this year.
Absolutely. But Matt Stepp, that's not your Texas High School fun fact of the week. Matt Stepp, your Texas High School fun fact of the week. What was the lowest scoring game in Week 1?
Oh.
Lowest scoring UIL 11 main game. I my guess is that this one flew under your radar.
It probably did, because I've got no idea. Graham and Midland Christian?
It's a good guess, and Graham and Midland Christian is I actually don't know if that's a good guess. They're 17-7.
That was the lowest scoring game I can recall off the top of my head.
I mean, Tascosa Paladuro was 10-0.
Oh, that's right.
But that's not the lowest scoring
game. Oh, really?
It
was one
Matt Stapp,
okay.
Your Texas High School fun fact of the week. The lowest scoring game in Week 1. Nederland 6, Lumberton 3 in overtime.
Well, they need an overtime for that, huh?
Oof. Yes.
Was it 0-0 going into overtime, or was it 3-3?
It was, I believe, 3-3.
Okay.
I believe it was 3-3 going to OT, and then Nederland kicks a game-winning field goal in overtime.
Heck yeah.
To win it, as Nederland wins a real taffy pull.
Yeah.
6-3.
It's Week 1. Weird stuff happens.
It is. Look, but I got to tell you. The Nederland staff, of course, largely comprised of Katie guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very Katie game.
Yeah, they're probably like, this is great.
Like, 6-3, that feels awesome. Yeah. Anyways, your Texas High School fun fact of the week. Nederland 6, Lumberton 3, your lowest scoring game of week one across the state of Texas. Thank you, Cover Zero Analytics. Thank you.
Thank you for your courage.
Matt, step a little week one recap. A week one report. I mentioned this on TFT. This is always, I think, the worst week for rankings because we have the worst amount of data putting things together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'll just, you know, the rankings you can find on texasfootball.com and see what we did.
They're out.
They're out. I think there's reasonable people can disagree, but our entire stance is basically, all right, who did you play? And especially, and how competitive were you? And especially with regards to who did you play, what is your perceived value versus the team that you played, right? That's all we can kind of go off of. So, yeah. Like, for example, Cuero beat Columbus 28-21, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great game. We kept Columbus number one in 3A Division One.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that because they were highly competitive against a good team. We think Cuero's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
That is larger than them.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is a real hands-off type situation. It's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you're punching up. You're competitive. You lose a close one, and you're punching up against a really good team. Like, Cuero's not a team that was 2-8 last year. They're a team that we think could win Region 4. So
I would say the opposite of that would be what we did with Galena Park North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
So Galena Park North Shore, somebody on this podcast called it. It wasn't me. Galena Park North Shore.
Some people are football geniuses.
Came up to Kincaid Stadium and played South Oak Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being a 10-point loss, but the game, this is a big college football playoff thing, game control, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
South Oak Cliff was in control of this game from pretty much the word go.
Yeah, it was a pretty thorough win for South Oak Cliff. Mm-hmm. North Shore never felt like North Shore, and I watched a good portion of this game online, and I just never felt like North Shore was in that game. And so game control completely in South Oak Cliff's favor. North Shore punching down from as a 6A Division I to a 5A D2. Yeah, South Oak Cliff's one of the best 5A D2s, maybe the best 5A D2. But I felt like that was just a not a great performance. And I thought, in my personal opinion, dropping North Shore is fair out of the rankings just because of all those circumstances. And then a lot of other teams had nice wins. Mm-hmm. And so you want to reward those teams for that performance because we've only got one data point. Yeah. I think North Shore will probably get back into the rankings at some point.
That's my guess.
But I tell people all the time, especially in 6A, when you look at the state rankings, you get past about 12 to 15 in that range, there's a lot of churn. Because there's about a group of like 40 teams that are all probably kind of very equal, and they're all going to have similar resumes, and there's going to be a lot of churn at the bottom of the 6A rankings because you're ranking 25 teams versus 10 teams.
So South Oak Cliff goes in the category of teams that impressed in week one. Yeah. I think that they were exceptionally impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a couple other teams that you looked at from their week one performance and you're saying, I would like to buy some stock in you, please.
We'll start locally in the DFW area, Frisco Lone Star.
Yeah.
That was pretty, pretty, pretty impressive what they did to a really good Argyle team.
You want to talk about game control. Yeah. They had game control.
And they did it without Davian Gross, the Florida commit. He didn't play. So you go on the road, you beat a really highly ranked 5A Division II team by 3 touchdowns without maybe your best player. I mean, you're going to get some definite props for me for that performance. I think the other one that was impressive going all the way down to the small school ranks, how about Garrison's Thursday night performance over Wascom? Beating Wascom by 20.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very impressive for Brandon Alvarez's ball club. That certainly caught my eye in that 2A Division I showdown.
I'll kind of give you another. I'll go big school and small school. Big school, two of them, both in the Houston area. Dickinson. We said last week that we thought that this could be the best Dickinson team in a couple of years.
Talk about game control.
They dominated Katy on Saturday night. If you were paying attention to college football, that's cool. Dickinson pretty much bodied Katy.
Yeah, it was 34-14 late. Katy scored late to make it 30. Little window dressing, and Katy, one of their touchdowns was a kickoff return for them. Yeah. Katy up until the end of the game only had one offensive touchdown. Yeah. Very, very impressive from John Snelson's ball club.
The other one that I want to make sure I mention in the big school ranks is Pearland. That is a team that came out of the gates hot. They looked really, really good. They dominated Fulcher from the word go. And obviously, new coaching staff there at Fulcher with Stephen Hill taking in. But I think you saw the 52 points. Awfully impressive. Mm-hmm. They had a huge, huge game on the ground, 222 rushing yards.
If Pearland's going to do that offensively with that front seven, mm-hmm. it'd be a real... I mean, we've said it. The parity, and we look at 6A as a whole. I that may be the biggest storyline coming out of Week One. Is I think the amount of parity at the 6A level. I mean, four teams in our top 10 lost,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it was a problem with our rankings.
No,
because the other classifications were pretty chalky. I think 6A is just going to be 6A this year. We had four teams lose. One was on a bye. And that's pretty, you know, in the top 10, it's pretty impressive, pretty wild. I think that's one of the biggest storylines coming out of 6A.
Yeah, I think so. The other one that I want to make sure we bring up, and this is another Thursday night affair. I thought what Gladewater did to Dangerfield on Thursday night was very impressive.
Yeah, and Jermaine Lewis's first game as the head mm-hmm. coach there at Gladewater. Dangerfield's such a hard team to mm-hmm. read. You just don't know what you're going to get from Dangerfield. And sometimes, and then, you know, as soon as we bury them, they pop off and go to the fourth round. So a little bit of concerning because Gladewater struggled last year. I tell you, that district in Class 3A Division 1 with Gladewater, Jefferson, Atlanta, Tatum, mm-hmm. White Oak had a nice win, you know, nice performance. So it's a loaded district.
I want to make sure we shout out a couple of coaches who are in first year situations that I think really, really shined. It's Irwin Garcia, is that the coach?
Yeah, Irwin Garcia at Fort Worth Diamond Hill. Yeah.
They snap a 46-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to them. That's a long, long, long time coming. I mean, they had won again this decade. And to go out there and get a win in week one against South Hills, who, by the way, from a Fort Worth ISD, you know, performance.
South Hills has had good years.
Yeah, exactly right.
A little bit down now, but they've had some good years. Absolutely. Good win for the Eagles.
Yeah, I feel good about them. I mentioned this on TFT. Tucker Carter mm-hmm. at Livingston took over a team that was 0-10, and they went out there and beat Fort Bend Austin, a 6A team, in week one. I was very, very impressed.
That's a 4A Division 1 beating a 6A.
Being a 6A. You know, that is really, really impressive for a first-year coach and a guy who we covered in high school.
Yeah, makes it. I'll give one shout-out. Shout-out to Greg Davis at Wichita Falls Legacy. Mm-hmm. First win in program history. His first game as a head coach, and they knock off Lubbock Coronado 28-22. So congrats to Coach Davis and the Legacy Leopards, their first win in school history.
And then finally, Zach Woodward, the coach at Byron Nelson. We were out there on Thursday night at Shotwell Stadium, watched Byron Nelson on the Dave Campbell's Rising Game of the Week. It was, and watched them beat Wolf with Friendship relatively soundly. After a kind of, they were kind of felt each other out for the first quarter, and then really Byron Nelson and Parker Almanza, their quarterback, really stepped up in a big way. But Zach Woodward, who of course took over as head coach after the tragic passing of Travis Pride, he takes over, wins game one on his birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
His birthday.
Hell
so
a birthday, coach.
Pretty cool there. And obviously an emotional win for that program, which has had a really tough offseason.
Yeah, and Coach Pride's son, Colt Pride, got an interception there in the first quarter. Kind of
a real goosebumps moment.
Yeah, really cool for him and those guys. So do we want to talk about the bad?
We can talk a little bit about the bad. Give some teams that you're giving a little side eye now.
Friendship. That was a rough performance from Friendship to open the season. Friendship's, you know, they're known as an offensive team, and they score, you know, they averaged 50 points a game the last couple of years. They really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we got to talk about what happened on Saturday out in Georgia.
Yeah.
That was the DeSoto got pummeled.
Got handled.
Which they won that game last year 70-0. Mm-hmm. And then this year we turn around and they lose 70. And here's the thing. DeSoto scored 28. They had three kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Jeez.
Their starting offense did not generate a touchdown in that game. The touchdown they did score offensively was late in the game with backups. Their backup mm-hmm. quarterback was in the game. I think the most concerning thing for DeSoto was, once again, defensively, they tackled poorly. They were just bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, the end of the season last year with that, losing to Longview. They start the season. And if I'm a DeSoto fan, I'm concerned because it doesn't get any easier. You've got North Crowley this week, and then in 2 weeks you have Waxahachie and Duncanville to open district.
Yeah. That's like,
that's this is going to sound crazy, and I said this on a different podcast on the Dub last night. Shout out to my friends there on the mm-hmm. Dub podcast. But I think it's not crazy to discuss – there is a possibility DeSoto misses the playoffs. It sounds incredible to say, but Duncanville, Waxahachie, Lancaster had a good performance against North Crowley on Thursday to open the season. Cedar Hill with a resounding win over Midlothian. It's not crazy talk to say that.
No.
So I think there's a lot of work that has to be done at DeSoto.
No, you're not wrong.
They fell out of the rankings and deservedly so. That can't happen. So it's definite work to do for them. They can get the wheels back on. You know, it's possible. I guarantee you a win over North Crowley this week and the wheels are back on. Mm-hmm. But they got a lot of work to do. That was pretty disappointing.
Yes, ma'am.
You said they played in Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they traveled all the way to Georgia.
Yes.
Playing out of state game. Mm-hmm. Against a team that, now, I want to be really clear, like, we want to be on Front Street here. We don't keep up with Georgia high school football.
Yeah, not an expert.
Not my thing.
On Creekside, Georgia.
Yeah.
But
It seems like they're a pretty good team.
I think they're a good team. Just kind of reading to some of the Twitter talk Saturday, they're a good Georgia team.
Not some juggernaut.
They're the size of a 5A school one time. I think their enrollment's about 1,600. And DeSoto's a 6A, but their enrollment is probably under 2,000. So there wasn't much enrollment difference mm-hmm. in the schools. Yeah. So,
but this is not modern day. This is not St. John Bosco.
No,
this is not IMG
yeah,
or even
yeah.
Even like Broken Arrow or like some of those big Oklahoma teams, yeah. stuff like that. I think it's a good Georgia team, but it's not like, oh wow, like they walked into the teeth of a machine. Okay.
What was your question, VNA? I'm sorry, you had a question.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You just thought it was odd they went to Georgia.
Yeah. Is there any specific reason why it was a Georgia team?
At realignment last year, they were trying to find a game, and I think they probably got with a promoter or somebody mm-hmm. who kind of pairs. Okay. There are people out there who
yes.
will
cool.
kind of play matchmaker, you know, kind of like in the dating world, you know, you kind of have these matchmakers that are out there,
yeah.
you know. I don't know anything about that, but, you know, there's football matchmakers.
Of note, that's how you got the fake high school a couple years ago.
That is how you got the fake high school. That is how Bishop Sycamore came
yes.
about, was through a promoter. So sometimes it works out for you, and sometimes
you end up on ESPN with a fake high school.
You know who else Bishop Sycamore were supposed to play that year before they got exposed? They were supposed to play Duncanville.
That's right.
Yeah, we almost had. Yeah, but they got exposed before that. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
shout out Bishop Sycamore.
four teams that I want to make sure I kind of want to throw up a little bit of red flag.
Okay.
Crowley.
Yes.
It was to Birdville on Friday night, 34-27. I do think Birdville's better, but
Crowley's a 6A that went to the third round last
exactly
year.
Right.
And you're losing to a 5A D1 who missed the playoffs.
Odessa Permian. In case you missed it, Saturday afternoon.
How about the red flag for all of Little Southwest Conference?
Absolutely.
They were 0-6 in week one.
Mm, tough, tough. Yikes. They lose to Plano 27-17. And then two teams that I would categorize as last year's Cinderellas that struggled out of the gate. Woodville loses to Orangefield rather resoundingly at home. I've got some. We knew that they were. Tavian Hunter is gone. They have to replace some people.
And a
new coach.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot there. And then also Joaquin. Joaquin loses to Frankston. Now I like Frankston. I think that's a good team.
It's a good.
Are they in Region 2?
Frankston's in Region 2.
Region 2. They're one of those teams.
They're in the district of Mildred and Italy.
Italy. They're in that kind of wide open Region
sure.
Region 2. Mm-hmm. So I do like Frankston, but 40-22 out of the gate for Joaquin, I thought was a tough way to start. So kind of in that Cinderella, does the shoe still fit?
Sure.
Early returns maybe not as promising. Okay, so there you go. There's a little bit of week one recap. Also, Kapel's 1-0.
Everman is not 1-0. Lake Dallas is 1-0.
Lake Dallas is 1-0.
Nice win over Denton High.
How about that? Let's go.
Yeah, it was.
Get those Greenbirds going.
It was a tough night for the Everman Bulldogs. We're not going to talk about it too much.
It's now time for your week two game draft. We're back, folks. And if this is your first episode of Step and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I will go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. That is the phrase that pays. We can be interested in it for some reason. So last week, we posited that you could have taken Dimmitt versus Memphis. And by the way, Dimmitt got a resounding, I can't find it right now, but it was like
41-0.
41-0 win over Memphis.
Cyclones,
yes. That we will see. By the way, I want to know where their realignment number comes in. Memphis,
it could be six. They could have six man numbers.
Yeah. They, you know, we've seen teams that have six man numbers play up In fact, we've seen teams with six-man numbers play up and make it to a state championship game. Hello, Hamlin. But, yeah, we'll see where
that goes. One underrated thing, this is really in the weeds of Texas high school football.
Yeah, bud.
But, you know, Memphis' stadium kind of backs up to 287, and, like, if you kick an extra point, the football can go into the freeway.
Yeah.
If Memphis goes six-man, we'll not have that anymore.
Oh, interesting. It'll be shorter.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, that might be the nerdiest and most sicko thing I've ever
thought of.
You know, that's hell. Welcome to Tep and Step.
Absolutely.
Where sickos come to talk.
So this week, hypothetically, if Matt Stepp wanted to take
Riviera Coffer and Progresso,
you absolutely could.
All shout out to the Red Ants.
And the Seahawks, by the way. That's a good...
That's an elite mascot matchup.
By the way, Seahawks versus Red Ants.
If you are someone in Progresso and you would like to send the Dave Campbell's crew Progresso Red Ants shirts, we will gladly
accept We will... Those. I want to be really clear.
I'll wear it on the show.
I want to be really clear. Can you give me the one shot here, V&A?
Oh, calling ISO.
We can be bought.
Absolutely. We're for sale.
So let's get to our week two game draft. We'll go five rounds back and forth, selecting games we're most interested in. Then we'll round it all with our hipster game of the week. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp and I had a coin toss before the show. I won the coin toss, so I get to pick 1-1. And we will start.
Can I protest?
No.
Dang it. Okay.
7:30 p.m. Friday night at Bobcat Stadium in Salina.
That was my game. That was... Dang it. Finger guns
as
over here. Darn it.
The Salina Bobcats, the number one team in 4A Division I, welcome in the La Vega Pirates out of Bellmead, America, in the greater Waco area. Campbell's alma mater. A number three, I think, in 4A Division II. Sounds right?
There's no way to know that. I believe they are number three.
In a matchup of teams that both played in state championship games last year, a matchup of teams that both have eyes set on AT&T Stadium again, a matchup of teams that both started the year 1-0 in kind of different ways. For Salina, it was a good win on a neutral site against a pretty good Belleville team. Now, I do not think that Belleville is what they were when they made the state championship game.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
And in fact, I believe, I want to make sure, somebody tweeted me this. Do you know Belleville threw for two touchdown passes?
What? What's going on in Belleville? Grady Rowe, what are you doing,
dude? Sick. They're sick in Belleville. But this is a 50-28 win over Belleville. Salina looked the part. They played in Hewitt.
Especially
in
the second half. First half, it was a little dicey. A one-score game at halftime. Belleville fumbles in the second half kind of busted that thing open.
La Vega had no issues with Kennedale in week one. 41-3. This game was 14-0 at the end of the first, and it never got closer from there. And most importantly, I thought the defense stood on its head. The defense held them to, I believe, like 110 yards of total offense.
Yeah, that was a that's a Don Hyde performance. Mm-hmm. Don Hyde is in his bag, folks, yes. Because Kennedale, one thing we know Kennedale will do is run the ball,
yes.
That wing T offense under Richard Barrett. Kennedale had 56 yards rushing in that game.
Yeah, they averaged less than two yards carry.
That's vintage La Vega defense right there.
And that's what kind of has me interested about this game. Because, look, I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say that I know who has the best player in this game. The best player in this game is Bo Bentley, the quarterback for Salina.
Beamer Benzer Bentley.
Of course, he is on the gateful cover of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And they've got other guys back, like Luke Biagini, who's one of the defensive players of the year last year.
Tight end Wyatt Villarreal, pit commit.
They got some dogs.
Logan Gutierrez at running back.
But here's the thing about La Vega, okay, is that for Salina, the question coming into the year was going to be up front, on both sides of the ball, offensive line and defensive line. And we've kind of said, Bill Elliott, trench god, he is going to figure it out.
Yeah.
He's going to figure it out. And the early returns are good. Let me tell you about a program that we know will test where you are in the trenches. Mm-hmm. This is a final exam type thing here, because one thing about La Vega, they are going to beat you up front.
They're going to be physical.
They're going to be real physical. Yeah. And they've got dudes up front to do it. Okay? They've got a defense that is loaded. They've got a number of playmakers defensively. You add in playmakers of their own, Courtney Parr, Jabari Thornton. This will
Oklahoma
be
State commit, yeah.
This will be a much more dynamic offense than Salina face in week one.
Correct.
All due respect to Belleville. Even just schematically.
Yeah, schematically and then balance. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Bryson Roland graduated for La Vega, but I think his little brother is playing running back.
Yeah, I think it's like Caden and Casey Roland. Yeah.
And so I don't worry about La Vega having a running back. They will have a guy who can run the football.
And that, I think, is really, this is a real gut check for where Salina is in their build. This is a matchup that I think, if it were to be played in week 10, I would think of it very differently than I do in week 2. Just because this is a Salina program that we think is a team that's going to have to grow. I think La Vega is going to beat Salina.
Really?
I think La Vega's physicality, they're a more known commodity in week 2. And I think that especially up front, they're more of a finished product. And Salina, I think they're still figuring out. I still think Salina's still my pick to win 4AD1.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in week 2, this matchup, I think it favors La Vega.
I do think it's going to be a very close football game. I'm going to go with Salina, just to be the champions advantage. And there, I do think if this game was in Waco, I would be a lot more inclined to maybe pick the upset. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think La Vega matches up well with Salina.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, let's give Salina the champs advantage, and Bo Bentley is going to make a play at the end to win.
Okay. I think that's fair, too. I think it's a whale of a ball game, and we will get a real litmus test on where two legit state championship contenders stand early in the year. Fascinating ball game there. What is your first pick, Matthew, now that I took your 1-1?
You did take my 1-1, but my number 2 is pretty good, and I just need to see what day this game is on because I did not look that up. But
doing great.
While I look up the day of this game.
Not like we can edit this out or anything.
Yeah, I believe it's Friday night. Yes. 7 o'clock Friday night at Yates Stadium in Willis, Texas.
Ooh.
I believe live on Texan Live. The Klein Collins.
Hold on. Let her do it. Thank you.
Thank you, V&A.
She's back.
The Klein Collins Tigers visit the Willis Wildcats in a battle of 1-0 teams in a real measuring stick games for teams in that Houston area that are kind of that second tier teams that I think are, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this game goes because I still have some unanswered questions about both of these football teams. Let's start with Klein Collins. And for about 2 quarters, I was thinking last week on Thursday night, this Klein Collins team is ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
They looked the part because they raced out to a 28-0 lead on College Station. And I'm like, oh, boy, this Klein Collins is back, y'all. After last year's struggles, they got it together late in the year. They're back.
Mm-hmm.
Braden Shoggin with two touchdown runs and a touchdown pass to help them get to a 28-0 lead. And I'm thinking, here we go. Well, then all of a sudden, College Station, they get their wheels on, and they darn near come back and win this football game. It's 28-28 with under 2 minutes left. I'm thinking we're going to overtime. And then Shoggin puts the cape on and rushes for a 56-yard touchdown to get Klein Collins the win. So credit to Klein Collins. They hung on and won at home against a good College Station team. But that third quarter especially, where the game kind of got away from them, still have a lot of questions. Go over to Willis. And, you know, we know about Jermaine Bishop. We know about Jermaine Bishop.
Quite good at football.
He is good at the game of American football. He requests all the meat and cheeses from the deli counter.
Everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Give him all the meats, deli meats
full
and cheeses.
Full charcuterie. Yes.
He is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
But Willis had questions, primarily at the quarterback position.
Yes.
Because the guy that was played quarterback for them in 7-on-7 was ruled ineligible by the UIL. So we did not know who Willis was going to put at quarterback. Well, in steps freshman Lincoln Frazier to lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid's 6'2", 185. I don't know what the hell they're feeding these 13-year-olds these days, but good Lord. I watched the tape of the game. He looks like a senior.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the weight room. He's a big old joker. And he throws a couple of touchdown passes to Bishop. And Willis looks like Willis. They're out there 5 wide, slinging it around, just letting it all hang out. Trent Miller's ball club, they're doing what Willis does. And they go out and they dominate. Aldine Davis is not going to win a state championship, but Kelvin Chatham's done a nice job there. They made the playoffs last year. They had a lot of guys back. And they just went out there and did what they do to Aldine Davis, 42-14. And I thought the defense for Willis, you know, questions there on the defensive side of the ball, graduated a lot. They looked good. first exam, they looked strong. So now slowing down a very physical, it's a different type of test with Klein Collins, because Klein Collins, Adrian Mitchell's ball club, plays with a different level of physicality and intensity. It's going to be a different kind of matchup for Willis. I'll be interested to see how Willis's young guys stand up to that physicality in this football game. I think playing at home will be key. And I think they're going to have, you know, we're still dealing with a freshman quarterback in Frazier. He's still young. What's Klein Collins going to throw at him this week to try to confuse him? That's the key. In the end, I'm taking the team with Jermaine Bishop, though. I feel like he is going to make a play or two.
Not a bad play.
But I think it's going to be a very close game and a very interesting football game. And I think we'll get a lot of questions about both of these football teams answered on Friday night in Willis.
Yeah, that's a good poll, because I think that both of them look good in week one. But also both of them look turned in, I would say, incomplete performances, or at least not fully complete performances. I don't think anybody's going to apologize for winning, but I think we both feel like one of these teams can level it up from there. Mm-hmm. And one of these teams will have an opportunity to do that to move to 2-0. So it's a good pick. It's a good pick. My second pick, Matthew. Well, Thursday night affair. So if you waited, you didn't subscribe to Dave Campbell's Texas Football,
you're going to know what happened.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
7 o'clock Thursday night at Gustafson Stadium in San Antonio.
Oh.
It is a 5A versus 6A matchup, as the Smithson Valley Rangers, the reigning 5A Division I state champions, take on the San Antonio Brennan Bears.
The Bears.
In a matchup of 1-0 teams, a matchup of great coaches, a matchup, and let me just spoil my preview here, a matchup of two defenses that are going to knock your block off.
Yes. Physical, physical, physical.
This is a love letter to physical football, is Smithson Valley and Brennan. Two defenses that I think are just plain and simple, they're primetime defenses. Mm-hmm. Hudson Woods, Justin Roberts, Colton Hornsby for the Smithson Valley defense. We have almost no questions about the Smithson Valley defense. A, from personnel perspective, and B, from a pedigree perspective. That we know what Smithson Valley under Coach Larry Hill is defensively. They are sound, they are physical, they are mean, they are where they need to be, when they need to be there. The same thing kind of can be said for Brennan. And Brennan, Day-Day Toll-Free, Timothy Cummings, they have got dudes on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. That, again, personnel, check. Pedigree, check. Brennan is known far and wide as... These are arguably... Let me see if I can make most of the schools in San Antonio mad. Are these the two defensive torchbearers in San Antonio, as far as teams that are known traditionally to be exceptional defenses?
I think those two, and probably Steele.
Steele's probably in that mix too.
You know, I agree.
And what's interesting, though, is that I think for both of these teams, the offenses are still maybe a little under construction. I'm not saying they're bad. In fact, you know, Smithson Valley looked great last week against Roosevelt.
Put up a 60-burger. San Antonio Roosevelt, yeah.
But these are offenses that we had questions about going forward. Week one, got nice wins, but what are they doing week two? Brennan's got the star power, the known star power. Mekhi Thompson, their running back, Caden Glass, the dual-threat quarterback, who I'm a big fan of. But they were replacing, I think, three offensive linemen. They have to replace a lot of the skilled talent around them. So still a question as to what their offense is going to look like. Smithson Valley, we had huge questions about, because they graduated the house offensively. Then they brought back just two offensive starters. One of the guys they lost is Cade Spradling, who is do everything for them, right? Mm-hmm. The star of that offense. Now, last week, their running back Caleb Piegler went berserker. I think he had four touchdown runs. He was exceptional in their win over Roosevelt. That's an overmatched Roosevelt team, in my opinion. And so this is a much more of a better test. There's also, I mentioned it off the top, this is a great coaching matchup here. Larry Hill and Stephen Bazor. Mm-hmm. I did the math. 467 combined wins between those two guys.
It's a lot of football games those guys.
A lot of football games. Yeah. And I didn't do the math on this one, but my guess is that is about an 85% win percentage between the two of them.
People forget, Stephen Bazor took took Brennan to a state championship game. Mm-hmm. They lost to Guyer when Guyer had Gerard Hurd, but he's taken them to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, so he has. I think it's a fabulous game. I'm probably overreacting to 1 week worth of data, but I do think that Smithson Valley can do it. And I think that actually, like, I think the defensive game plan is going to be such that they're going to be able to keep this game low scoring and allow things to kind of blossom from there. I like Smithson Valley in a close one, but this is a close game, box office stuff. If you're in the San Antonio area on Thursday night, get to Gustafson. This will be a great,
it's a great Thursday night
physical, game. Hard-hitting, old-school football game. Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be a lot of running game in this one. Everyone will be sore on Friday morning in this.
So last year, Brennan, I wouldn't put a ton of stock in Brennan's performance in week one. They slipped past a rebuilding Reagan team a little bit last week. Last year, Brennan lost to Reagan in the opener and then turned around and beat Smithson Valley in week two. So I think you're going to see a different Brennan football team in week two. I like Smithson Valley, but I think I wouldn't put a ton of stock in that Brennan performance. Yeah. I think it's going to be a heck of a football game in San Antonio.
Great game in San Antonio, especially Thursday night affair. What else are you going to do? San Antonio, I think UTSA plays Saturday, so
you go. Yeah, get out to Gustafson Stadium and watch that game.
Good ball game. What is your second pick, Matthew?
I'm going to go out to East Texas.
I know what game you're
saying. 7 o'clock Friday night at Jeff Traylor Stadium. Speaking of, what a segue. As the Tyler Chapel Hill Bulldogs at 1-0 visit the 1-0 Gilmer Buckeyes in a really good, always entertaining East Texas 4A football. You could just go to East Texas and pick a 4A game every week, and you could probably find a heck of a football game. This is the game to pick as two of the top teams. You got Chapel Hill. Last week, they knock off Jasper 49-7. And DeMarcion Blaylock, who Coach Reardon has been telling us about this kid. Yeah. He was banged up last year, didn't get healthy till the very end of the season. He kept saying DeMarcion Blaylock. During 7-on-7, he was like, watch out for DeMarcion Blaylock. And he looked great in 7-on-7. Well, guess what, guys?
He has arrived.
Pads came on, and he looked really good last week. He had 123 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. He had a touchdown rushing.
Okay.
Just for funsies, he had a kickoff return for a touchdown as well. So that is 5 touchdowns in the win for the Bulldogs over Jasper. He is electric. In that Chapel Hill defense, 10 starters back, completely shut Jasper down, only allowed 1 touchdown. A strong, strong debut for Chapel Hill. The early returns, if you thought Chapel Hill was going to be rebuilding this year, at least after 1 week, I would say they are not rebuilding. They are simply reloading. This is we saw it during 7-on-7. They looked good. Malik G at quarterback. I think now one question I still have about Chapel Hill, and we haven't found that out yet, is the running game. Have they found that bell cow feature running back that I think you will need when you get into district play and you're having to play the likes of Kilgore, Longview Pine Tree, Lindale, those types of things? You're going to need to have a running game, but early returns for Chapel Hill, very good. For Gilmer, they got a win over Pine Tree, 41-25, but I would say incomplete for the Buckeyes. And here's why. Gilmer got some gifts, and I call it week one gifts from Pine Tree. When I'm talking week one gifts, I'm talking bad snaps, special teams, gaffes, those kinds of things. This game was 19-17 early in the fourth quarter. Gilmer was leading. Gilmer gets a fumble return for a touchdown, and then they recovered a kickoff. Pine Tree mishandles a kickoff. They recover it. 2 plays later, they score again. All of a sudden, it's a 34-17 game. Not to mention, Gilmer had, in the first half, returned a muffed field goal snap for a touchdown as well. That's 3 basically touchdowns that are a result of Longview Pine Tree kind of handing things to Gilmer on a silver platter. I don't think you can count on that week in and week out. That's not sustainable. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, Gilmer still has some unanswered questions. Now, Zade Taylor, their quarterback, had a strong night. He throws for a score. He runs for a score. Gilmer got the running game going. They got the big Frenchman on the offensive line, Kamara, leading the way. So that part I think is good. But I think Gilmer still has some unanswered questions. Well, those questions are going to get answered this week. Chapel Hill is a strong, strong team coming into town. I don't expect Chapel Hill to have the same kind of gaffes that Pine Tree had, especially being in week two. So I think the passing game, you know, Malik Brown also for Chapel Hill, the big wide receiver, has got several Division I offers, the 2027 receiver. Him and Blaylock are a real problem for opposing secondaries. I think they're going to be too much for Gilmer. I like Chapel Hill on this one. about a touchdown. So give me Jeff Reardon's ball club to go to 2-0 in a really fascinating football game.
Yeah, and in a real kind of sorting matchup. I mean, obviously D1 and D2, so they won't play each other in the playoffs, but a real sorting matchup as far as East Texas kind of power rankings are concerned.
Yep.
Because I think last week, Carthage kind of established themselves, per usual, in 4A as like the team to beat in East Texas. Good win over Kilgore.
Breaking news.
But
Scott Surratt's football team. Good.
Yeah, Scott Surratt off the hot seat. Yep. But this is a real matchup, I think, for like who will be able to bow up to the Carthages and the Kilgores and maybe the Pleasant Groves of the world, if you want to kind of make that top group there in East Texas. So, anyway, good pick there. My third pick, Matthew, 7:00 Friday night at Crowley Stadium in beautiful Crowley, Texas, Crowley, America. It is.
It is a beautiful stadium, by the way.
A matchup of teams that are no stranger to deep playoff runs.
Mm-hmm.
No stranger to deep playoff runs recently.
Correct.
As the North Crowley Panthers at 1-0 take on the DeSoto Eagles at 0-1.
Mm-hmm.
And two teams coming off of what I will say in different ways are concerning week ones.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways.
Sure.
Now, North Crowley, you can be concerned all you want, but you put one in the left-hand column.
They got to win. We don't apologize for victories.
You don't apologize for victories over here. They played, I think, a Lancaster team that we should be giving more credit to. I think a lot of the talk around Texas high school football has been what's wrong with North Crowley, when maybe I think there's not enough conversation about what's right with Lancaster.
Can I take a moment to give Leon Paul, yes, and his coaching staff a little bit of credit here? Considering what they went through with the passing of one of their players in workouts, they didn't practice for a week. They had their scrimmage canceled because they were obviously going through that process of mourning their teammate who lost, going through those types of protocols. They really didn't start prepping for North Crowley until like Tuesday, mm-hmm, which they played Thursday. And they're talking about North Crowley.
Yeah.
So for Lancaster to come out on Thursday night after a lightning delay also,
mm-hmm,
and put on that kind of performance, tip of the cap to Coach Paul and the Weibo coaching staff and kids, because putting that effort together, considering the circumstances, kudos to them. So yes. I think instead of taking away from North Crowley, I think we should give Lancaster a lot of credit.
I agree. That is I think that's
important. Editorializing there.
But I think that's important to mention, because I think Lancaster is better than people maybe gave them credit for, mm-hmm, and they played an inspired game last week. The result is the result. North Crowley wins at 22-18.
Yes.
Lancaster was driving for the win at the very end. This is just the fourth time under Ray Gates that North Crowley has failed to score 24 points in a game. And it I think the issue is that it lines up with a lot of the concerns that we had about North Crowley coming into the year.
Mm-hmm.
They had to replace Chris Jemerson, their star quarterback. Hayes Cloutier.
I think it's Cloutier. Cloutier. Tell us how, Hayes, tell us how to pronounce your last name. We don't want to butcher.
We're going to be saying it a lot.
I'm going to call Coach Gates and ask.
Shaky, I think. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completed about 41% of his passes, mm-hmm, right?
Good
Lancaster defense.
First start, and he's only been in Texas for like a month and a half, so he's still learning on the fly too.
Between them, offensive line, they know we need to put
placing
together
4 starters in the offensive line.
They were placing they lose Quentin Gibson, mm-hmm, they lose their 2 running backs,
both of whom are division. Yeah, I think one that went to Utah, one went to Arizona.
They turned the ball over 3 times, mm-hmm, right? Committed 10 penalties. It was. I have not talked with Ray Gates. My guess is that he would look at the tape and say, we're not going to apologize for a win, but that was sloppy.
I talked to Coach Gates. Yeah, he said it. He goes, we got work to do. We did not play well. He was quick to give Lancaster credit,
mm-hmm,
but he also said we need to be better.
Speaking of teams need to be better, the DeSoto Eagles, we talked about them in the open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They go to Georgia and they get trebucheted into the sun.
Trebuchet.
There you go.
Write that down, V&A. Trebuchet.
It's a catapult. T-R-E-B-U-C-H-E-T.
Okay.
Trebuchet. T-R-E-B or T-R-A-B-U-T.
That's why you're an award-winning writer. You're a journalist with a capital J.
The box, let me tell you something. The box score's ugly for DeSoto. If you lose 70-28, it's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 538 yards of offense. They gave up 6 6.9 yards per carry on the ground.
Suboptimal.
They gave up 237 yards on 16 of 20 passing.
Well, that's a cool 80%.
They turned the ball over four times. They only had 145 yards of offense. Jeez. They, like, it was ugly. It was ugly. And I haven't talked with Claude Mathis, but I think he would probably, he's a straight shooter. He's going to look at that and be like, we got worked.
Yeah.
We got worked. Yeah. We had questions about what they were going to do. And it's a tough day for Legend Hall, their quarterback. They couldn't get anything going on the ground. Sarod Baker only had 8 carries for 31 yards. And the defense, obviously.
Yeah.
We know that on paper, both these teams have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are about to have a really interesting matchup of coaching staffs to say who's going to fix these things quicker. Because I do think that the most change happens between week one and week two.
Yes. The most improvement should happen between week one and week two.
Who can make those changes? And who can, I think, get more consistency from the quarterback spot? Mm-hmm. And who can, and specifically, can DeSoto figure things out defensively? Because right now, at the very least, of the four units involved in this game, you can at least look at the North Crowley defense and say, like, you know what? Pretty good.
Yeah. North Crowley's defense played well Thursday night, and we feel confident that's the most consistent group right now.
I think that is the difference here. I do think both teams will look better.
Mm-hmm.
I do think both teams will look better. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Crowley's going to move to 2-0. North Crowley, rather, is going to get moved to 2-0, figure things out. And for DeSoto, I mean, I have to look at the last time they've been 0-2.
Well, I know that they haven't had a 3-game losing streak since 2008.
Yeah,
I did look. They went 6-6. I think it was Claude Mathis's first year.
Mm-hmm.
It was early in his tenure. My thing about this game, there's two big time receivers in this game.
Mm-hmm.
For DeSoto, you got Booby Feaster, the USC commit, who reclassified to be a senior, and you got super sophomore at North Crowley, Champ Mays. Great nickname matchup.
Yep.
Damarian Champ Mays. You got Booby and Champ. Whichever wide receiver can kind of take the top off the defense, loosen things up a little bit, and can make a play, I think that will help their opponent. So I'm kind of watching that. My edge, this is not nothing against Feaster, but I think North Crowley's secondary is much more equipped to slow Feaster down.
I'd agree.
You've got Aaron Bradshaw. You got Elijah Juan Houston. You got Jerry Outhouse. You got three or four Division I guys mm-hmm. in North Crowley's secondary. I don't think DeSoto's secondary has those kind of playmakers. That's why I give the edge to North Crowley.
Here's a promise. Neither of these teams are going to have a fun week of practice. Neither of these coaches are going to be coached pretty hard this week by both Claude Mathis and Ray Gates and their crews. That is a promise. So anyway, I like DeSoto and North Crowley as my third pick. What is your third pick, Matthew?
7:00 Friday night at Citibank Stadium in Forney.
Mm.
We have a cross regional matchup as A&M Consolidated at 1-0 visits Forney, Texas to take on Jeff Fleener's ball club, who is also 1-0. And for Consol, they're on a nice little winning streak here. 12 regular season games in a row that they have won, and including that last week, they made quick work of Lake Belton, 44-17. Nice win for Brandon Schmidt's ball club, who went 12-1 last year and got a win over Forney at home last year. It's a great win for them over Lake Belton. Their new quarterback, Amarian Moore, had a great game, over 300 yards of offense. He did it on the ground. He did it through the air. He tallied 3 touchdowns. And, you know, Consol's got a new defensive coordinator. Their previous defensive coordinator is now the head coach at Georgetown Eastview. Carter Yates did a great story on him and some of his battle with cancer. Bill Robertson mm-hmm. now over there at Eastview. So new defensive coordinator. And I would say after 1 week, the returns are good. Holding Brian Cope and Lake Belton, they always have an explosive offense, holding them to 17 points. A nice effort for the Tigers. But big challenge this week for their defense because Forney – offensively, the Jackrabbits have playmakers.
Yeah, they do.
Javian Osborne, the Notre Dame commit, 220 yards and 2 touchdowns, and looked healthy. He was battling some stuff last year towards the end of the year. He was real beat up, had a heavy workload, and just looked a little worn down towards the end of last year. He wasn't healthy. Well, he looked healthy and spry in mm-hmm. week one. Running against Lake Highlands. He had a huge game. Nelson Peterson, the quarterback, had 3 touchdowns passing. Forney's offense looked explosive. They looked mm-hmm. the part. The flip side of that, Forney's defense got some work to do. They did beat Lake Highlands 37-34. Maybe the most entertaining game of the night on Thursday night. That was a really fun ball game on Texan Live, by the way. Really fun ball game. But if I'm Forney, I got worries about the defense. They gave up over 500 yards to Lake Highlands. And you know, you say, oh, well, Christian Rhodes for Lake Highlands had a monster game, the SMU commit running back. Well, no, Christian Rhodes got hurt in the second quarter and didn't come back in the game. It was Lake Highlands' passing game that torched Forney for those over 500 yards. So they're going to need to clean that up a little bit. And I think Coach Fleener and his defensive staff, they're going to have a renewed emphasis on the defense. And I don't think Consall is going to be as explosive or dynamic in the passing attack. So I think Forney's defense will fare a little bit better. And I think Osborne has another big night. I mean, he's got a strong case as the best running back in the state of Texas.
Yes.
And I think he has another big night. And I think Forney goes to 2-0, just proving again. Let me tell you something. 10-6A might be the district of doom. We talk about 11-6A and 23-6A. Look at 10-6A top to bottom. That might be the best district in the state of Texas at 6A level. And Forney in that district, I think, could go to 2-0, should go to 2-0 with a win over a very dangerous Consall ball club. So looking forward to this. Love to get those DFW versus Syntex or Houston type games, just to kind of see where each area stands. So looking forward to this one on Friday night.
It will. That's a good matchup. I think that actually Consall fans will probably travel pretty well. I think so. Like, relatively speaking, that trip up from the Brazos Valley.
Is A&M at home on Saturday?
What a great. Who could possibly know? Yeah. Who could possibly know that? Anyway, that's a good pick, Consall and Forney.
Thank you for knowing that.
You're welcome. My fourth pick, Matthew. You've gone east. I'm going west.
Oh.
7 o'clock, Friday night, at perhaps my favorite stadium in Texas high school football.
Ooh, your favorite. It's a high bar.
The Mustang Bowl in Sweetwater.
Ah, yes.
That is a pretty, gotta be.
It's up there.
It's up there.
It's up there.
As far as iconography in Texas high school football.
The Mustang Bowl is up there.
Pretty good. As the Sweetwater Mustangs at 1-0 welcome in the Greenwood Rangers at 1-0 out of Midland. And we had Coach Brian Hill on the show on TFT last Thursday ahead of their win over Seminole?
Childress,
he said confidently.
Very confident.
Childress. And he mentioned, I kind of asked him, is there a buzz around this program right now? And he said, yeah, like people around town are talking about the Greenwood Rangers. And I'll tell you, that buzz hasn't waned after week one. They take on Childress, and they win 42-21. It was not that close.
No.
They were up comfortably, maybe like...
It was 35-7 at halftime, and I think 42-7 early third, and I think Coach Hill said, okay, we're good. Let's get the starters out of here.
Lincoln Madrid, their quarterback. Got to be honest, I'm developing a little bit of a crush. He's pretty great. He's pretty great. Yeah. Lincoln Madrid can play. He had four touchdowns. They get the win. Sweetwater is, I think, one of those teams that in 3A Division I is right outside that what I'll call the talking zone, okay? There are these teams in every classification that we'll find ourselves talking a lot about just because they are the teams that we think are those contenders. I think Sweetwater resides right outside of that. And I think there's reason to believe they should be in the talking zone this week, especially if they get a win this week.
Yes, I think they get a win this week. They are firmly into that. I think they could probably make a case to jump into the state rankings at that point. Greenwood would be a signature win.
Yeah. Brian Hodnett, their new head coach. They're now 1-0 under him. Caden Ortiz, their quarterback, was terrific in their win last week over Idaloo. Doubled them up, 44-22. Braxton Barty, their linebacker, a dog. He got that dog in him watch list. He was all over the place in that win over Idaloo last week. Greenwood is bigger from a enrollment perspective. Greenwood, I think, is bigger from a size perspective, right? And I think that they've got that depth that I think this is a really tight game. until about 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And then I wonder if the depth advantage and the size advantage for Greenwood is going to, I think they're going to lean on Sweetwater a little bit. I think it's a whale of a ball game. And I think for Sweetwater, there is a real high upside here that even if they don't win the game, if they go out there and they challenge Greenwood for, you know, for four quarters and make them work for it for four quarters, I think that they can feel like, hey, we can hang in 3A Division One. In a 3A Division One that we feel like is becoming more and more wide open.
Yeah.
That, hey, you know what?
There's like, no big bad wolf, especially in Region
One.
There's you know, Paradise still, I think Paradise is probably the favorite, but yeah. I don't think Paradise is this. There's no Brock.
No, there's no Brock. Exactly, you know, right. So. And so I think that for Sweetwater, there's a lot of upside here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Greenwood's your favorite. I like this Greenwood team a lot. I think I picked them to win Region One.
I think they're kind of the chic pick to win mm-hmm. Region One in 4A Division.
Well, I am very chic.
Mm-hmm. When I think of Greg Tepper, I think of chic.
I like Greenwood, but I think that we will learn a lot, especially about Sweetwater in this ball game, welcoming in a bigger team there in Greenwood. So. Fabulous game there in the Mustang Bowl. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Greg Tepper, I like it out west. I think I'm going to stay out west as well.
Okay.
Small school ball. 7 o'clock Friday night at Wildcat Stadium in Canadian.
Oh, you're going way west and way north.
Way west and way north.
Yeah.
Very, another scenic stadium. Beautiful Canadian, Texas. As the 1-0 Bushland Falcons mm-hmm. visit Canadian to take on the 1-0 Canadian Wildcats. And these are two teams that... I think they have a lot of pedigree in the Panhandle as two of the better small school teams in that area, and Canadian statewide in 3A Division II, one of the best teams in the state. But I think we look at this and we're going to answer a lot of questions about both these football teams, because both these teams come into the season with questions, and after 1 week they both got wins. But let's be honest, especially for Bushland, they played a team they overmatched. Like mm-hmm. we didn't learn a lot about Bushland. All due respect to Borger, but Borger's rebuilding. And Bushland did what you should do to a rebuilding team when you're a team like Bushland, is beat them 55-0.
Mm.
Canadian played Elk City, Oklahoma. And again, I don't know much about Elk City, Oklahoma, other than they're a little bit bigger than
Canadian. I know they play them like every year, basically.
They generally give Canadian trouble. I know Elk City is like a 4A Division II size school.
And yeah.
They got an enrollment of like 550, so they're a bigger school than Canadian.
Yeah, it seems like every year they like They've open the with them.
For, yeah.
And like it ends up being like... A relatively competitive matchup that mm-hmm. Canadian wins, and there's a little bit of talk about like what's wrong with Canadian.
Yeah, you just don't know anything about Elk City. I mean, it's not like they're playing Tulsa Union or Jinx or Broken Arrow mm-hmm. or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. We don't know about them. Well, this time they actually handled Elk City pretty well, 33-6. And mm-hmm. Slayton Dickinson had 212. You know, Canadian has a lot of questions. They're very young, but one place we know they don't have questions is running back. Slayton Dickinson is a bell cow. He had 212 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Their sophomore quarterback, Weston Mitchell, nice debut. He only had 118 yards passing, but he ran for a couple of scores. And the biggest thing was he didn't make a lot of mistakes. Like when you're playing a sophomore quarterback in his first varsity start,
mm-hmm.
you don't want the big mistake. He wanted to manage the game and kind of grow into it. And I think he did that. Like I said, Bushland beats Borger 55-0. They played two quarterbacks because their quarterback, Quade Ferris, transferred in the offseason to Wolford Friendship. So the Colton Strickland and Cannon Avan, both were kind of rotating there at quarterback. Avan had 100 yards rushing, two touchdown passes. Strickland had a couple of touchdown runs. I don't know what the long-term plan is. I haven't talked to Coach Reynolds at Bushland about it, but you know, I don't know if they're going to go with the two-quarterback system or if they're kind of using non-district as kind of the competition, and then hopefully by district which they're only in a four-team district, so they have a lot of non-district games. So maybe they're trying to kind of see where things go as they kind of move towards mm-hmm. the playoffs, but there's some questions there. Bushland's defense, though, held Borger under 100 yards of offense. They forced three turnovers. I like that start. You dominate. You do what you're supposed to do. You dominate mm-hmm. a team that you're a lot better than. So shout out to Bushland in that performance. But I think I'm interested in this game because I really want to see kind of the measuring stick for both these ball clubs.
Yeah.
This is kind of going to be your litmus test to see where they stand. Bushland in 3A Division I, Canadian in 3A Division II.
Yeah, like is a lot of the questions about Canadian are basically, was last year a hiccup or a new normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Wall has certainly done their part to say we run Region 1 now, but can Canadian kind of rise back up to that that place where they can challenge Wall now in a Region 1 setting in 3A Division 2? So it's an excellent pick up there, way up north.
I like Canadian. I think at home,
yeah,
you lean to the Wildcats with the home game.
Yeah. That's one of the – it's like that and like Texline are like the two farthest north teams in – or like cities in Texas, like right along
Texline, and I want to say maybe it's Booker.
Booker, yeah, Booker's way up there.
Booker too. And Perryton. You know, Perryton. This is a fun fact about Perryton.
Here's a fun fact with Perryton, presented by Cover Zero Analytics.
The closest Walmart to Perryton is in Liberal, Kansas. So you have to, if you want to go to Walmart and you live in Perryton, the closest one is in Kansas.
This has been today's Perryton fun fact, presented by Cover Zero Analytics. CoverZeroAnalytics.com.
And visit Perryton.com.
I
don't know if that website exists, but
it's about to.
Go visit Perryton. Yeah, somebody make that website, please.
It just goes to it's
just, and just put a big picture of me on the front. Got a backwards hat. Why is he in Perryton?
My fifth and final pick, Matt.
You're off the rails today.
That's what happens when you're back in studio. My fifth and final pick, Matthew. 7 o'clock, Friday night. Mountain Time!
Oh my God.
At Conquest Stadium in El Paso.
Oh, where they had the best press box spread in Texas.
It is, here's a hot take, the first must-see game in El Paso this season.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think week one,
let's freaking
we kind of eased into it.
Yeah.
There were a couple matchups here and there, but this is the first box office game in
El
Paso.
This has got banger alert written all over it.
As the El Paso Franklin Cougars at 1-0 visit the El Paso del Valle Conquistadores.
Ah, yes. Did you say it right, V?
Yeah, and I can't believe I'm saying this. One of the best recruiting matchups in the state of Texas.
Oh, yeah. You're
buddy.
You're into recruiting.
Star power galore. And we love El Paso. We normally cannot say, this is an awesome recruiting matchup in El Paso. Because normally El Paso's got one, maybe two guys out there who are FBS guys. There was a piece up on TexasFootball.com about how this is like the best year in El Paso ever.
Mm-hmm. From a recruiting standpoint,
a talent perspective, it is crazy, crazy what they've been able to do. Let's start. Both these teams got great wins in week one. For El Paso Franklin, the Ruben Torres era began with a terrific win over El Paso Chapin.
Early returns look good.
Yes. We knew that they were going to have dudes, okay? They've got Justin Morales, their star tackle.
Yeah, Kansas State commit.
Mm-hmm. He's a dog. I think Ernie Powers, their running back, I don't follow recruiting like Powers does, Greg Powers does, but Ernie Powers.
Is Ernie related
to Greg? His brother.
Yeah.
His nephew, yeah. Ernie Powers.
The Powers, there's been a lot of Powers is go through the Franklin program. A lot of those kids have gone on to play college football. That's a known name there in El Paso, the Powers family.
And Ernie Powers, 5 touchdowns last week, was terrific. This team, like, they are loaded and they're big
and fast. Mm-hmm. Franklin is big and fast. Their track team, they had a great track. They won the Region 1 title in track. They got dudes.
Del Valle gets a win over El Paso Montwood, a 6A team, by the way, punching up 41-7. They dominate them. And the story, per usual, the El Passer.
That's right.
Jake Fetty, their quarterback, who is
Arizona State commit.
And I mean, he's just
one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
He's just so good, man.
He is.
He's so good. 3 touchdown passes last week. They got 2 rushing yards from Dante Aitchison, their quarterback.
92 yards. Yeah.
They are balanced. It's not just go out there and win the game, Jake Fetty. Yeah. Because there have been past years, like El Paso teams, where, and that's, I think, what's most encouraging about Del Valle. There have been past years where if you've got a dude, that's all you had. Like, I go back to when Aaron Jones was at Burgess.
Mm-hmm.
He was the whole stinking team.
They made the plane out of Aaron Jones.
He was either going to run for 300 yards or they were going to probably lose, right? Mm-hmm. If Del Valle can beat you in a variety of different ways, it's going to be interesting. Now, Franklin's the bigger team. They're a 6A team. Mm-hmm. This is also, I think, for both teams, a level up in competition from what they faced in week one.
Absolutely.
Fascinating ball game here. I don't know, man. I think Franklin, from a size and depth perspective, is probably the favorite.
I think the trench play here is going to be key.
It's probably the favorite, but also the best player is on Del Valle.
Correct. Yeah, and Thetty can put the team on his back and will them to a win. If I'll be very interested to see Franklin's defensive game plan, how they attack the Del Valle offense, and what kind of they try to do to slow Fetty down. Do they dare Del Valle to run the football, which is kind of seemed like what Montwood did last week. Was they played a light box, and well, Del Valle just said, okay, you're gonna show a 5-man box. We're just gonna run for 250 yards.
Right.
So
this is like I said, this is the first real box office attraction in El Paso.
Correct.
First of many this year. Yes. But this is the first one where it's like, stop what you're doing on Friday night and go to Conquest Stadium.
It's gonna be a packed house, big crowd.
Yeah.
If you're in the press box, I promise you're going to eat good, because the Del Valle home ec group, the hospitality there is first class. There'll be some kind of home cooked meal that will be elite, I promise. Anyway,
Franklin Del Valle is a lot of fun.
Was the El Passer
that's a Hudson
that's,
Standish
that's a
joint.
Hudson Standish yeah. joint.
We did get permission to use the nickname.
Okay.
Hudson is not charging us royalties as of yet.
To make sure.
But if we could, in the video version, could we just say it would be just say something like Jake Fetty, the El Passer, and then put like copyright Hudson Standish.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be there great. You,
yes.
you can write that down. That'd be great. Yeah. What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew?
Let's go 7 o'clock Friday night. I don't know what the name of the stadium is. We're just going to say in Edna.
Yeah.
As the 1-0 Bay City Black Cats visit.
It's Memorial Stadium.
Is it Memorial Stadium in Edna? I know it's Bay. I think Bay City's is Memorial.
Let me ask Bob McSpadden.
Okay.
It's Cowboy Memorial Stadium.
Cowboy Memorial Stadium. Okay.
It's on Miracle Drive. That's cute.
That's nice. Jackson County. Mm-hmm. As the Edna Cowboys host the Bay City Black Cats. And this is an interesting little rivalry. You know, Bay City's about 40 miles east of Edna, so they're not far from each other. Mm-hmm. Edna's 3A Division II. Bay City is 4A Division I. For whatever reason, I guess I know the reason. Edna's been really good recently. They have won 4 in a row against Bay City. And it's not like Bay City is a bad 4A Division I team.
No.
They were in a regional final last year, and Edna beat them 35-7. You don't typically see that in these type of rivalry games where the smaller school, that much smaller school, two divisions, has had the edge over the bigger school. That's what's happened here with this Edna and Bay City rivalry. Interested to see how this one goes. Bay City, they beat Sweeney last week 48-14, and we had a lot of questions about Bay City's offense. A lot of youth. They're playing two quarterbacks. They're trying to figure it. They were playing two quarterbacks all through 7-on-7, and some weeks they looked good. Some weeks they looked a little sloppy. But they rolled past Sweeney. And Aiden Wiggins, their running back, 123 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Kimarian Wiggins, the athlete who plays a little quarterback, plays a little receiver, he throws for 130 yards, but he also had 62 yards receiving and two touchdowns. So Edna's offense, despite the youth, looked good. Step up in competition this week in Edna, even though Sweeney's a 4A. I think Edna clearly is a better team.
I would agree.
Than Sweeney. So we're gonna find out a lot more about Bay City this week, especially playing an offense that's more balanced. Sweeney's a slot T offense, very one-dimensional, and I think they kind of wore down against Bay City because they just couldn't maintain possession. Their defense got tired. Well, now you got Edna. Jamie Dixon's debut at Edna, I would say, went well against Vanderbilt Industrial. They won 46-2.
I would say that's pretty good.
So I don't know how you give up those 2 points. What the hell is going on in Edna? But 46 points seems good. And the Lavaca River Showdown. Edna and Vanderbilt Industrial. So I guess Edna gets to claim they own the river, at least for another year. Maverick Robertson, their running back, runs for 3 touchdowns. Trevor Lloyd moves over from free safety to quarterback. He runs for a score and throws for a score. Edna returned the second half kickoff for a touchdown. So all three phases got involved for the Cowboys in this win. They're taking a huge step up in competition this week, because Bay City, one thing you know about Bay City is they are going to be athletic, they are going to be super speedy, and they are going to test that Edna defense, which, to be honest, didn't get tested last week. Vanderbilt Industrial is a little bit of a rebuild. They don't have the kind of playmakers and overall team speed that Bay City brings to the table. I could I know Robert Jones very well, the head coach at Bay City. He's a proud Bay City alum. The fact that Edna has had their number, I know, irks the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. I know they want to get that chip off their shoulder. They want to just end this Edna dominance they've had. I think Bay City's defense, that veteran group, Bay City's got a defense that brings, I think, 7 or 8 starters back. So a very veteran, senior-heavy defense for Bay City. They're speedy. They're physical. And Edna still is figuring the things out on offense. This is a new system, a new scheme, new terminology that Coach Dixon's brought in. I give the edge to Bay City in this one. I think they end Edna's streak. They win a close one on the road, but I like Bay City in this one. Should be a great ball game down there in the Crossroads region. Hopefully our good friend Mike Foreman might be in the house for that ball game. Two of the better teams in that greater the greater Victoria metro area, the metropolis that is Victoria, Texas.
So there it is, your week 2 game draft. Step took Klein, Collins, and Willis, Gilmer, and Chapel Hill, A&M Consolidated, Forney, Canadian and Bushland, and Bay City and Edna.
We covered the whole state.
I took Salina and Waco, La Vega, Smithson Valley and San Antonio, Brennan, North Crowley and DeSoto, Midland, Greenwood, Sweetwater, and El Paso, Franklin, El Paso, Del Valle.
Nice cross-section of the state.
Yeah, no Rio Grande Valley games. There's a couple.
McAllen Memorial and Weslaco is a pretty good one, I think, down in the valley to keep an eye on.
We didn't mention Duncanville and South Oak Cliff. I think we talked about South Oak Cliff last week. Debut for Duncanville.
First game for them. They were off last week.
They had the week... I think they only have 8 games scheduled.
They do. They don't have a game next week either. They were off last week. They play this week, and then they're off next week.
Find out a lot about them. Other games that we could have... Apologies to Munster and Holiday has my attention in a real way. Newton and Jefferson.
Lake Travis and Rockwall.
Katie
and Atascocita.
Really big game. And then I would throw in Lovejoy and Highland Park, because remember, Highland Park loses to Heath in round 1. I would say Prosper and Heath, by the way. Yeah.
Thursday night game, big game in San Antonio, Piper and Johnson.
Yeah, Piper and Johnson's a huge game, too. Anyway.
It's a good week 2 slate across the state of Texas. It's just some good games.
Yeah, very, very good games. It's now time for our hipster game of the week, which I guess we could pick those for that, but I'm not. What are you picking for your hipster game of the week?
Go Friday night there at Daikin Stadium in Waller. As the Conroe Grand Oaks Grizzlies, led by Sean McDowell, will visit the Waller Bulldogs in a battle of 1-0 teams in the Houston area, who I think are up and coming.
And somebody's O must go.
Yes. It's 1-0 versus 1-0. Throw the records out the window. But I like this game, first off, because you have 2 up-and-coming teams in the Houston area who I think have designs. They've finished, Grand Oaks was 5th in district last year. Waller was 7th in district. Both of them think they can get into the playoff mix this year. Well, here's your measuring stick against another team that's kind of in your weight class. Both of them got strong wins last week, but they were playing teams who were in a little bit of a rebuild. So, measuring stick game. Love the quarterback matchup here. Waller has the super sophomore in TK Gaines, who I know we all love. 2 sports star there at Waller. Unbelievable baseball player. Also a very good quarterback who started 11 games for Waller as a freshman and is already generating Division I offers. And then you've got for Grand Oaks, you got Grant Smith, 3-year starter. Has offers from Colorado State, Cal, Baylor, Arkansas, 6'4", 205, veteran quarterback. So you got the veteran, two talented quarterbacks, the veteran at Grand Oaks, the young gun at Waller. Like that matchup. So a really good game in the greater Houston area on Friday night, that Grand Oaks and Waller.
Matt Stepp, it's an excellent pick. It's a good hipster game of the week.
Thank you for knowing that.
My hipster game of the week, you thought you were going to be... you thought we were done with the Crossroads. Matt Stepp, what if I promised you that a game was going to sell out this week?
I'm interested. I love a sellout.
7:00 Friday night at Frost Bank Memorial Stadium in Victoria.
Love the sponsorship. Good job, Victoria ISD.
As the Victoria East
Titans,
thank you, take on the Victoria West Warriors in the matchup that is known as...
It's got a nickname?
Yeah, the Battle of the Boot, I believe it's what it's called.
Oh, heck yeah.
Let me make sure I got this right. You're listening to live coverage of me, Sam. Yeah, Battle for the Boot. Battle for the Boot. It is the matchup between East and West there in Victoria. It's a game that I think if you were to talk with the folks in Victoria, there is a real, it's lost a little bit of luster because it's not a district game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe West is D1?
No, East is D1.
East is D1, mm-hmm. West is D2. And now look, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that this does feel like two programs that are in different places right now. East is coming off of a loss to Georgetown, got lost 27-0, mm-hmm. couldn't get anything going offensively. Can they find something kind of to go with? It feels like a lot of their offense is going to have to go through their senior running back, Prashawn Stafford, to get him going. West is coming off a big win over Lockhart. They looked every bit the part of the team that I know you're really, really high on this year.
Regional contender. My pick to win the region.
Yeah, Nolan Boyce, their kind of dual threat quarterback, was a star in that one.
Had 6 touchdowns rushing in that game against Lockhart.
I would tell you, though, throw out the record books.
Oh, let's go.
You throw out the record books. Yeah. It does tend to be close. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. Last year, West was, in my opinion, better than East. It was a 41-28 ball game. Mm-hmm. And so, could we get another close ball game? Hopefully. I will tell you that West... East leads the series 9-6 all time. So
close series.
You throw out the record books there in Victoria. I like Victoria. Victoria West.
I love a good rivalry.
Nice little week 2 rivalry game. Yeah. Down there in the Crossroads region. It will be sold out. That is a promise.
There's another really good game in the Crossroads region as Tidehaven and Goliad.
Yes.
It is a great Friday night slate in the Victoria, the greater Victoria metro area.
No excuse not to not to be out of the game. Let's go to V&A Marina.
Oh, do you need to tell where I'm going this week?
Here to tell you where he's going.
It's a staple of the show, Tepper. Come on. All right, Thursday night, I'll be in Mesquite. As you know, Tepper, the elite hospitality in Mesquite ISD.
One of my very favorite stadiums.
As Mesquite Memorial Stadium will host Mesquite Poteet, led by Terrence Orr,
mm-hmm.
taking on West Mesquite, led by Steven Jackson. So Mesquite ISD showdown Thursday night between Poteet and West.
Two ball-knowing dudes right there.
Friday night, I will be at historic Pennington Field in Bedford as the Midland Legacy Rebels. For the second week in a row, coming to the Metroplex. Last week they played Allen. Took one on the chin against Allen, but mm-hmm. Coach Clint Hartman will have his guys ready. So they take on the Trinity Trojans, who went down to Houston.
By the way, yeah.
Really nice win over Strike Jesuit. They held John Aber in check. So
yeah.
Trinity, sneaky good team.
That was one of those games that, like, we probably didn't talk about enough, but really nice statement
for
victory.
Trinity go down to Houston mm-hmm. and do that to strike. Mm-hmm. Impressive win for Trinity. So Trinity and Midland Legacy on Friday night. And Saturday, I'll be back in the Alamo City at Heroes Stadium watching Alamo Heights in Churchill Saturday night. So,
A Carl Padilla special.
Yes. It's Carl Padilla's alma mater, Churchill. Oh. Two teams that are 1-0. Alamo Heights beat Seguin, and Churchill knocked off San Antonio Stevens last week. So, battle of 1-0 teams Friday night there in the Alamo, Saturday night in the Alamo City.
Can I ask V&A what you wrote down now?
Well, what are you doing? Tell us what you're doing Friday night.
What if Friday night you guys tuned in to Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight? Scores.
I did.
Analysis. Highlights from across the state of Texas mm-hmm. with myself, Ashley Pickle. 90 minutes of high school football hayride if you come and hang out with us. 10:30 p.m. wherever you stream, coming up here this Friday. So go do it. Let's go to V&A Moreno. Can I do this now?
Yes, go
Let's
ahead.
Go to V&A Moreno and find out. Hey, V&A, what'd you write down?
Hey, guys. I love hearing where Matt Stepp is going. That's
Thank you, V&A.
I wrote down, you guys were funny today.
We did it.
Yay.
We can be bought. Nice.
We can.
Nice start. Oh, where am I? There.
I don't know.
Okay. I like how you said a love letter to physical football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. What game was
that? I forgot the word that you mentioned.
Smith and Valley.
Trebuchet.
Yeah. Let me look this up.
Trebuchet.
Oh, God.
Trebuchet. Yeah, there you go. See? Trebuchet. It's like that thing.
Wow.
It doesn't look fun.
If you can trebuchet into the sun.
Yeah.
What did I write here? When I think of something, I think... When I think of chic, I think of Tepper.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's thank funny. You. Thank you, as I'm in my hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Box office in El Paso.
Yes.
I
want to be very clear about that because we're making sure we give it credit for that. That for things that Hudson Standish said the said BL Passer.
BL Passer.
I stole Somebody's O Must Go from Rick Renner.
Okay.
That is a Rick Renner like
shout out to Rick Renner.
Go to. Shout out. Shout out to Rico.
And Battle of the Boot. That's cool.
Yeah, the Battle, like Battle of the Boot down there in Victoria. It's going to be a great week of Texas High School. Make sure you get out to a game. And if you're not, or even if you are, stream more games on Dave Campbell's Texan
Live.
Got like 60, 70 this week.
Too many games to count.
Irresponsible amount of football on Dave Campbell's Texan Live. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us. Thanks to V&A Moreno for putting up with us. And Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
We will see you next week on Tep and Step.
Bye.